email outsources@kgnu.org. Join us next week, Monday at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of Outsources, bringing you homegrown queer radio in the state of Colorado. That's Monday, 6:30 p.m. right here on KGNU. Or listen anytime after the broadcast at kgnu.org/outsources. I'm Sean Kenny, and you've been listening to Outsources, KGNU, Boulder, Denver, Fort Collins.
And it is just about 30 seconds after 7 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. And it is time for the Opera Box.
Respiri una carrozza, presto, segui la dovunque vada, non visto, lo vedi. Nida Scarpia, va Tosca, che Scarpia, che gioia, volvi il falco della tua gelosia. Quanta promessa nel tuo pronto sospetto.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadel. Tonight, my playlist highlights one of the greatest American baritones of the last century, Lawrence Tibbett. His voice was described as big, bronze-like, dramatically eloquent, and combined ringing power with remarkable agility, as you can hear in this aria from Puccini's Tosca. I've also got music of Verdi, Wagner, Rossini, Gounod, and Leon Cavallo. So join me for tonight's Opera Box.
Fra le mie braccia.
Tre sbirri. Send three spies. The evil Scarpia rejoices in his plan to capture the dissident Mario Cavaradossi and force Tosca to submit to his lust. That's from the end of Act One of Puccini's Tosca. And in that recording, we heard Lawrence Tibbett, baritone, with Giulio Setti conducting the New York Metropolitan Opera Orchestra. It's 5.5 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a playlist highlighting the great American bass baritone, Lawrence Tibbett. Tibbett was known as an extremely versatile singer, achieving outstanding success in every kind of role. Evil bad guys, such as Scarpia, comic opera characters like Figaro, and tragic and noble characters as well. He was born in Bakersfield, California, and he lived from 1896 to 1960. His father was a sheriff who was killed in a shootout with the murderer James McKinney. That's when Tibbett was just 7 years old, after which the family moved to Los Angeles. And there he made money as a boy singing in church choirs and weddings and funerals. His mother rented out a room in their house, and Tibbett fell in love with one of the tenants there, Grace Smith, and they would later on get married. He served in the Merchant Marines during World War I and afterwards found work singing between movies at Grauman's Million Dollar Theater in Los Angeles. Deciding to become a professional singer, he moved to New York City to study with the famous singer-songwriter Frank LaForge. And this led to his first operatic job. He signed a contract with the New York Philharmonic Opera for $60 a week in 1926. It's a lot of money. It wasn't long before his large voice and immaculate musicianship were noticed, and he quickly rose to leading man. And one of his first big roles was as Valentin, the brother of Faust's lover Margarita in Gounod's Faust. As you'll hear, not only does he have a burnished baritone timbre, he infuses the role with real vigor. We're going to hear him in Valentin's aria from Act Two. He's a soldier, and he's about to leave for the army. In this scene, he's in a tavern, and he tells his friends that he's off to the war, and he's worried about leaving his sister behind. He asks them to look after her for him. From Act Two of Gounod's Faust.
Thank you. cherche la guerra, de la vie. Le premier, le premier, porte la mêlée. J'irai combattre pour mon pays. Et si vers lui Dieu me rappelle,
Margarita's brother, Valentin, leaving for the army, and he asks his friends to look after his sister. We heard Lawrence Tippett in that performance, the great baritone, the great American baritone, the subject of this evening's The Opera Box. It's 13 minutes after 7 o'clock. I'm your host, Ron Nadell. While working with the Met, Tippett soon added many roles to his repertoire, and he signed an exclusive contract with the Victor Talking Machine Company, which later became known as RCA Victor. He quickly distinguished himself as Tonio, one of the clowns in Leo Cavallo's I Pagliacci. Tonio, who is in love with Netta, the unfaithful wife of Canio, the leader of an acting troupe. Tonio addresses the audience before the opera I Pagliacci, reminding everyone that actors have their own feelings and that the show that they're about to see is about real people. We're going to hear Lawrence Tippett now in the role of Tonio in the prologue to I Pagliacci.
Thank you.
The clown actor Tonio addressing the audience in the prologue to I Pagliacci by Ruggero Leoncavallo. And we heard Lawrence Tibbett, baritone, with Rosario Bordone conducting the Victor Concert Orchestra. And we are 21 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Abel, with my program featuring the American baritone Lawrence Tibbett. And please be sure to stay with me after The Opera Box for a Classic Monday and the 14th program in my series on the symphony. Tonight's installment, Gustav Mahler. And that's at 8 p.m. right here on KGNU. Well, with major successes like that at the Metropolitan Opera and a recording career under his belt, Tibbett was soon in demand in Europe and elsewhere. He toured the world and performed in Vienna, Prague, Paris, London, even Sydney, Australia. He also worked in California, and while performing in San Francisco, he met his second wife, Jenny Burgard. Another important role that he became identified with around that time was the evil Iago in Verdi's version of Otello. And here he is in Iago's diabolical aria, Credo in un Dio crudel, I believe in a cruel God.
Al verme della
I believe in a cruel God, the evil Iago planning the destruction of Otello, and explains that death is nothing. From Verdi's masterpiece, and we heard Lawrence Tibbett, baritone, with Wilfred Pelletier conducting the Montreal Symphony Orchestra. 28 minutes after 7 o'clock here on the Opera Box at KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with my program highlighting the life and career of the great American baritone, Lawrence Tibbett. Well, Tibbett's fame was so great that in addition to broadening his repertoire, his career spread into the movies. In 1930, he starred in the movie The Rogue Song, directed by Lionel Barrymore, and he was convincing enough in the lead role that he was nominated for a Best Actor Academy Award. Also, around that time, with his friend, the violinist Yasha Heifetz, he founded the American Guild of Musical Artists, which became one of the most important labor unions for solo artists. But his main career was still opera, where he proved to be extremely versatile, taking on comedic characters as well as the dramatic ones, and adjusting his dramatic voice to give life to these comedic characters, characters such as Figaro in Rossini's opera, The Barber of Seville. Listen to him breathe real life into Figaro's aria, Largo al Factotum. Figaro introduces himself, saying that as barber, he is the confidant to the rich and famous.
Per caita, per caita. figaro. Sol fa, figaro qua, figaro là, figaro qua, figaro là, figaro su, figaro giù, figaro su, figaro giù. Tra dove si deve sapere come ne sono cara della città, della città, della città, della città, della città. Abravo figaro, bravo Luiso, abravo figaro, bravo Luiso, ara fortuna te, fortuna te, fortuna non mancherà. Abravo figaro, bravo Luiso, abravo figaro, bravo Luiso, ara fortuna te, fortuna non mancherà. Sono il peccato della città, sono il peccato della città, della città, della città, della città. La 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 la.
Amazing. The Cavalier Barber Figaro, boasting of his status as confidant to the rich and famous, men and women alike, in Act One aria from Rossini's The Barber of Seville. And of course, that was Lawrence Tibbett with Nathaniel Shilkret conducting the Victor Concert Orchestra. Well, Tibbett's powerful voice became known for stamina and depth, and that allowed him to expand his repertoire into several roles in Wagnerian opera. And here he is in Wolfram's famous Act Three aria, his Prayer to the Evening Star from the opera Tannhäuser. Wolfram fears that Tannhäuser's lover, Elizabeth, may not live long enough to see him return.
Thank you.
Wolfram praying to the evening star for the salvation of his friend Heinrich Tannhäuser and his lover Elisabeth. We heard Lawrence Tibbett with Nathaniel Schildkret conducting the Victor Concert Orchestra. As Tibbett's vocal powers declined towards the 50s, he transitioned to musicals and plays. And after retiring from opera, he hosted his own radio program, playing operatic recordings and reminiscing about his own stage experiences. Tibbett's health also declined due to debilitating arthritis and more frequent bouts of alcoholism. He died in 1960 from a wound he suffered hitting his head during a fall in his own home. I'll conclude tonight's program on Lawrence Tibbett with him singing one of the greatest bass baritone roles in all of opera as Wotan, King of the Gods, in Wagner's Die Walküre, with Wotan's Farewell from Act 3.
Oh!
Wotan bids farewell to his favorite daughter, Brunhilde. The end of Act 3 of the second opera of Wagner's four ring operas, Die Walküre, The Valkyrie. And in that performance, we heard the great Lawrence Tibbett with the great Leopold Stokowski conducting the great Philadelphia Orchestra. Well, it's about 2 minutes now before 8 o'clock. This is your host, Ron Nadel. I want to thank you for joining me this evening and for tonight's tribute to one of America's great bass baritone operatic singers of the last century, Lawrence Tibbett. Be sure to stay tuned for a Classic Monday and my program continuing the history of the symphony.
How did extreme political ideas become mainstream? Find out on the next edition of Alternative Radio. Hear Nancy McLean on the origins of radical right-wing power. That's Alternative Radio, Wednesday evenings at 6, right here on Community Radio, KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
Giving back and supporting our community is one of the most important commitments we make as citizens. As important as giving back is being able to receive help and support. Colorado Gives Day makes that possible for thousands of nonprofits like KGNU Community Radio. Donate in advance, starting today through December 5th at coloradogives.org.
Support comes from KGNU listener members and the Gay and Lesbian Fund for Colorado, a proud supporter of local organizations like One Colorado Education Fund and its commitment to ending discrimination and violence against transgender Coloradoans.
We're coming up on 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to A Classic Monday. I'm still your host, Ron Nadel, with the 14th in my series on the symphony, tracing the evolution of the symphony from its roots in Baroque concerti of the 1600s to today. Tonight's installment will be the third of three programs on the symphonies of Gustav Mahler, where Beethoven's innovations brought the Romantic period of Western music into the world. Mahler's powerfully expressive use of symphonic methods fulfilled the realization of the potentials of Romanticism. His symphonies are thus the bookend to Beethoven and pushed Romanticism as far as it could go, leaving it at the borders of modernism. We're going to hear how he did so through his songs and his Eighth Symphony if you join me for tonight's A Classic Monday. Last week, if you joined me, we examined Mahler's approach to symphonic form and his layered development through his Symphony No. 5. Tonight, we'll look at the climax of symphonic romanticism by way of Mahler's Eighth Symphony and his song cycle, The Song of the Earth, Das Lied von der Erde. Mahler composed two more purely orchestral symphonies after his fifth, and they have striking similarities in structure and style. But his Eighth Symphony seems to have come out of nowhere. Even though he'd composed a symphony for large chorus before his Second Symphony, unlike his previous symphonies, Mahler conceived and composed his Eighth in record time. He began his sketches in June 1906, and the symphony was completed by mid-August. Up to now, Mahler's symphonies were expressions of human experience with fate. Symphony No. 8 shows Mahler at his most romantic, creating music to accompany and enhance textual humanistic content. Text has concrete meaning, as opposed to abstract, pure music. Now, for the first part, Mahler selected text from the hymn Veni Creator Spiritus, Come Creator Spirit, a joyous, celebratory Catholic hymn written in the 9th century by Robinus Maurus. Mahler created his own melodic treatment of Maurus' text. And then for the second part of his symphony, he set the entire final scene from Goethe's epic, Faust. Now, Goethe's contemplation on human weakness and redemption represented the very beginning of German literary romanticism and would have a profound effect on early romantics such as Beethoven and Berlioz and many, many others. Why Mahler would link these two works is up for speculation, and I have my theories, as you might have suspected. But Mahler had always wanted to do a setting of the ending of Faust. He thought all other attempts by other composers were saccharine and feeble. Well, his first sketches show that he was thinking of a classic four-movement symphony, but he quickly abandoned that for a symphony in two parts, with three movements grouped as part two. The symphony calls for a huge orchestra of at least 120 musicians, plus a mixed chorus, a men's chorus, a women's chorus, a boys' choir, and an offstage brass choir. If you remember, last month, Mahler